Let's do it all over again. Thank you, Lord. I'll just go ahead and sit down. I'm just kidding you. We'll say it again another time. All right. Praise God. We're releasing the children. Our children going somewhere. You can sit down. Sit down, brother. Praise God. We're just trying to exercise our rights. Praise God. All right. Let's all go to... Remember that song? Let's all go. To A&W. Food's more fun at A&W. Remember that song? How many of you remember that? That's an old song, eh? I mean, I used to travel over here on, Cumberland Street had one of the first ones, maybe. I don't know. They used to have, did they have roller skates? Yeah. So, and we said, did you wear those roller skates? No. We used to drive in there, man. Big Shot had this big long car. Drive in there and ask for, give me two burgers, please. 50 cents each. Praise God. Those were the days, wasn't it? Now $5 for, I think, a burger. So I don't know, something like that, but anyway. Well, it's good to be in church. Amen. It's good to be alive and good to be seen. Somebody said it's good to be seen. You have your Bible with you this morning? Or you have something to write on, you got your tablet, you got your phone. You know, it's one of the best things that ever been invented for me as a pastor is the iPad and iPhone. And thank God for Apple. I study on this constantly, read my Bible constantly, all my sermons, my whole book was written on this phone. I had my phone everywhere, and I would write a chapter somewhere, and if I was inspired, I'm writing. I got two more books in me like that. I want to write those books. I have books about how to recover, my addiction story, how I came out of it, very detailed, and how God brought me out of that, and some more stuff on my childhood and all that. So part two, part three is coming, and I got a number of books. I need an editor so badly. I need someone to. I got so many books I want to share, and I'm going to have to write. Right. My wife has been so busy with different things, and so I fired her many times, but she came back, and she's my best editor. I can't get rid of her, and she's very good with that, so I thank God for her. Amen? All right, did you find your Bible? You got your scripture? Did I tell you a scripture?
No.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to read the Amplified Bible. I I spent about 2 hours looking maybe one last consecutive time there last night, and I spent a whole day working on some kind of thing for Thanksgiving. But I have the best Thanksgiving message, I believe, right now, because the Lord inspired me. I like the inspired ones, you know. And so every year you pull out something about Thanksgiving, but this is really coming off the hot press of the Lord this morning. This Lord gave me this morning, and I thank God for that. Thank you all that are watching online, and if you're watching online, we really need to hear from you, people. I know a lot of our regulars haven't been back yet, so, I don't know why you're staying away so long, but come on back at least one time. You're not going to get sick, I believe. We're taking really great precaution here. We've done a lot to clean up the place and wear masks and different things that we're doing to clean up. So you'll be safe, praise God. Amen? I really believe that. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I'm going to read the Amplified Bible. We're going to talk about standing and reigning in grace. And I'm going to read Paul's exhortation, at least his praise. He jumps up with praise. He says, I thank my God at all times for you because of the grace. Everybody said the grace.
Grace.
Because of the grace and favor or blessing of God. And he says there, which was bestowed on you in Christ Jesus. If you're born again, you have been given grace, the grace of God. And we need to look a little closely about the grace of God. And so the idea I want to get across to you this morning is this. We stand in life And by the grace of God, we're here. And you're doing what you're doing because of the grace of God. And you're alive because of God's grace. There's a slogan that I recall when I was in my earlier days and when I went to treatment. I went to the Smith Center, Smith Clinic, early 1976, I think it was. And I went there as a young man, and I don't know if that's exact year, but I was just a young man, and 19, 20 years old, I think it was. You could do the math. And I was just really lost, and I couldn't see myself not ever drinking, as being young, because everything is about drinking. Everything you do, all the kids drink, no matter what you do, and at least in my circle, I couldn't see myself ever not going to a bar room, because that's where we went, played pool there, we played shuffleboard, we watched sports, we did everything, and gathered on a Saturday sometime, and so on. So there's a slogan later on. I came to the doors of AA, and I didn't think I'd belong there, because everybody was old and lost everything in life, and I was in and out for a while because I wasn't convinced. I had to convince myself that I needed to go out and try some more. But by the grace of God, I survived and came back. God gave me a chance. Through many, many blackouts and many black eyes, I came back. And thank God for His grace. So that slogan helped me. And many, many people like myself who were desperate. When I had no strength to go on, when I had no strength to believe in myself, and when everybody lost hope in me and the hope that I could change, there was something that welled up inside of me, something that came upon me that enabled me to continue in life. And they told me they were not Christian per se, people that were helping me, but they believed in some kind of God. They had a concept of God. Some of them had some denominational line, and some of them were trying to look for God. They believed in something. They had to believe in something, because they were told if you didn't quit, you have a number of choices. You're either gonna go insane and be institutionalized forever, or you're gonna die in your life early through accident or self-infliction, or you're gonna spend the rest of your days in jail. And I didn't want to do all those things, or they said you can get sober. So I decided I was going to help myself and follow direction, because I didn't know who could help me. I ran away from my church. I didn't want God, because I believed that the God who they taught me caused all these injuries in my life, and I didn't want to have anything to do with the God that I understood. And so they told me to find a God that in your comfortableness, in your ability to find a God that you, as you understand God. I even then, I knew God was not a God that was punishing me. I knew that what they're telling me about God wasn't true. And I knew that God didn't make me the way I was. But somehow I knew, and some of you know, somehow you all know, some deep down inside of you, all the negativity you receive in life wasn't true about who you are and where you were hidden. Somehow underneath all your sensibleness and the things of the Spirit, but you couldn't really grasp it yet, but you knew that there was something different, that there's help out there. And I was like that. And I see people, I see so many people. I was at a funeral yesterday, and I did another funeral today about a young man who passed away, and there was some questionable circumstances how he passed away. And, I was able to go and minister there and talk to the folks. And my heart went out to people as they mourned and wailed and cried because of losing someone. What a desperate, what a hard thing to lose someone so young, 36 years old. And I've been going to these funerals for some time now, and sometimes I want to run away from them. But, you know, there's a God up there and a God in here who helps me to do what I'm doing. And I thank God that He's helped you to do what you're doing today. And I understand that God is able to help you in every situation, and I look at everybody around me. What I was going to say was this, you know, I saw my own desperateness. I saw my own helplessness. And I, as I look around as a minister of the gospel almost for 33 years now, coming near Jesus' time, praise God. He just, you know, 33 years, I guess he was here for 33 and a half years, and then he left. I'm not leaving. So, you know, I think about this, and I look at people, and I look how do people survive? And I'm quite familiar with the drug addiction in the streets of Thunder Bay, in the streets across our nation. I'm very close to it. I work with people every day, have very close relatives who are addicted to all kinds of things, Oxycontin and all these drugs that are going on there, alcoholics. And so I see how do people survive? Not only does one alcoholic or drug addict affect themselves, but they affect everyone. They poison everything, every home, every child's dreams, every financial thing that they have. They eat through everything. And I wonder how people live and how they survive. And the desperateness, hopelessness, how people feel. And I see that every day. I see that in the life of people. And so the Lord spoke to me this morning and gave me a message to encourage myself. This message is for me. But I want to share it with you. I believe it can help you. And Paul said, I thank my God at all times for you because of the grace, the unmerited favor and spiritual blessing of God, which was bestowed on you in Christ Jesus. Because you're in Christ Jesus, God gave you grace. God gave you grace today. We stand in this grace today. We do everything in this grace. We don't just get born again by grace, but we continue on every day in life by grace. And you're doing things not because you're so smart, not because you're born in some kind of family, but because of the grace of God, you're here today. And you're alive. You look back on your own life. This slogan, as I mentioned, helped me many, many years. It says, but by the grace of God, as a young man, I sat in that club room, I looked around, all these old men shaking, ready to go into DTs. And I was sitting one room one time, and the man beside me, we were talking, and there was chatting going on, the meeting was going on, and the man fell over. And at that time, there was a detox downtown here, and they used to bring some guys over to the meeting over at the old Chronicle building downtown Port Arthur, right down in the basement. We would go right down, like in the cubby, some kind of a back room there. And so... I'd kind of make my way there, and I'd kind of hide because I didn't want anybody to know, and I was so ashamed. It was kind of a moral issue. Now, everybody drinks. They don't care. They'd drink down the street and crawl into a hole, get up, and somehow we lost some shame in this, but some part of it is good. Some part of it is not so good because, you know, I was ashamed that I was weak because they told me I was weak as an alcoholic. Addicted person, I would do any kind of drug, anything. If today, I'd be the same thing. I would do anything to get my hands on anything. But at that time, there was only like we only drank, and the hardest thing was pot. I didn't like pot. It gave me funny things happen to me when I had pot. It didn't agree with me. my uncle was a drug addict, and he was taking sedatives all the time, and I didn't like the way he looked, and he was sleeping all the time, and so. This guy falls over, and it shook me up to see, you know, he had, I guess, a seizure, alcoholic seizure, and that's a pretty dangerous thing. It scared me. So a young man, I looked, and I saw on the wall, it says, but for the grace of God. And it stuck with me. I'm asking you a question today. Do you ever wonder how you do to some things you do today, especially when you shouldn't actually have the energy or the ability to go on? You fail and you mess up and then you get back up and you don't think you're going to never get up again. There's not a comeback. There's not one more comeback, and yet you're back again. And some of us, we fail in different ways. You know, We should learn off each other, but we don't. And we want to learn it on our own. I like it now. I like my life now because I want to learn from other people. I don't want to make the same mistakes. They say insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting the different results. But I am recovered. There was a fifth chapter in the book called Alcoholics Anonymous. It said in that book, it said, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed a path. Those who do not recover are those who will not simply give themselves to this simple program. There are such unfortunates. They have seemed to have been born that way. They're unconstitutionally incapable of being rigorously honest with themselves. So I thought I should get honest with myself. I should be honest. And no one can go anywhere in life unless you become honest. No one can be honest. You know, if you're incapable of being honest, you'll never fix your relationship problems, your financial problems, your marriage, your home, your addiction problems. You have to be honest. They told me very simple. This is how you do it, Roma. The word how, H-O-W, honesty, openness, and willingness to listen to someone. I feel like I'm giving an AA talk here on my 33rd anniversary of my ministry. I'm flipping back in some ways. I thank God for AA. I think it's someone says that the 20th century miracle of man is to have the program and people's lives have been changed. Because churches couldn't help them and churches still can't help a lot of people like that. So they have to go to some place where they feel safe. And when they come to some doors, people try to change them right away and give them all kinds of scriptures and tell them what they should do. But in those meetings, they're just told, you're going to be okay today. A little love goes a long way. And so I think about my own life and how, and I'm asking you the same thing. You ever wonder why you are here today and why you survived this long, why you're still standing, why you even do the things you do today? Why are you saved and how did you live saved thus far? And serving God, how do you serve Him every day when you don't want to go on? And how do you go on when you don't want to go on? It's by His grace, by God's grace. And God will give you the grace. If you don't want to serve God, He'll give you the want to. He'll put in you a want to serve Him, even when you don't want to serve. He'll give you the want to pray. He'll give you the want to come to church. He'll give you the want to get up and go, and get up and dress up and go and show up. Somehow you might learn something. And I knew that I had to do something in my life. And by His grace, I'm here. The Bible says that we're saved by grace. Ephesians 2:6 says, But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This scripture is full of wisdom. But I want to pull out of it that His great mercy, His great love, by His grace that we're saved. We didn't get saved because we are so smart. We figured it all out how God can save us. No, God came to us when we were sinners, when we couldn't help ourselves. He saved us. He had a plan for us, for somebody like as not as smart as I am. I always felt I wasn't smart. They told me as a kid I wasn't smart, so they put me in a school classroom for slow learners. And yes, I learned slow, but I did learn. You know, I hear the Lord speaking. And there's music in the air. Ephesians 2, it says in there, Ephesians chapter, it says, by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Hey, put that phone away. Go outside, you want to read, if you want to listen and talk to somebody. Tell them, you'll phone them later. go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, guys. I want to show you something. Here's what God said to young Timothy. Are you okay here with this? Okay, watch this. 1 Timothy, it should be coming on here right now. 1:9. This is 2 Timothy, The Lord changed his mind. No, okay. 2 Timothy 1:9. You know, this is a minister talking to another minister. And he says there, who has saved us? He's talking to a minister of the gospel. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. That holy calling is you know, he's talking about we're sanctified. We're sanctified. God has a special calling on a minister. God got a special calling on my life. I didn't deserve, when I first became a minister, listen to me. When I became a minister, when God called me to minister, God supernaturally appeared to me and spoke to me to be in the ministry and through the word of knowledge. And I had messed up so much in my early life. I was very enthusiastic, like a lot of the kids here I see. They're enthusiastic for Christ. And when I went to a Pentecostal church, they said to me, you're going to just burn out. You'll burn out. But I didn't want to burn out. I'm sad to say I was with people who were not on fire for God. I was the fire of God when I went to church. I brought the fire of God with me. I brought the enthusiasm. And I brought the fresh love of God and the reality of someone being saved. And so when I got called and went into the ministry, people told me, because I had failed so much in life, because I messed up so much life with relationships and marriage and finances and criminal activity and failure after failure after failure. A minister came up to me one time. I was at a ministerial meeting and we're going to the bathroom, and he said to me, "You'll never make it. You're this, you're that." And I kept running into people that told me this. Different times, let me tell you something. If it wasn't because God gave me powerful experiences that He called me, I would have left hadn't God showed up and showed me that I was called into the ministry. And this is what I see here: it's not according to our works. I didn't have to go to university for 7 years to be a minister. I didn't have to become a perfect person. I was not a perfect person. And so, but according to His purpose, God had a purpose in my life. That purpose is higher than anything else. Amen? Okay, so, ma'am, please, I'm going to ask you to get off the phone. Excuse me. Okay? So this is disturbing me. Okay, so according to His own purpose, God had a plan. That plan is higher than your plan. It supersedes anything you can do. It's beyond everybody else's dream of what you should or shouldn't be. It's the grace of God. And it says His own purpose and His grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the time began. So the calling of God on each one of us is a grace given to us. God extends His grace to you so that you can serve Him. No one called you, but God called you Himself and gave you a purpose. He gave you a grace. He gave you a gift. He gave a plan. He made a plan for you so that you can serve Him. Amen. It's not something somebody else dreamed up. It's God's plan. God's mercy. Are you doing okay? Yes. So we got born again. It says, by grace are you saved through faith. We got saved because of the grace of God and because of our faith to operate in this grace. We got saved. And guess what? As you walk along in life, as you walk along in this Christian life, as you serve God, you're gonna find times where you fail and you mess up. And you still have weaknesses. You still have tendencies to go off the rail. And you compare yourself with everybody else and how they're doing. And so you get so discouraged that you're not like, your family is not like their family. And your life is not like their life. And your business is like their business. And so you give up. So you're an individual. God's called you not to compare your life to someone else. God's called you to see His love in your life and what He's done for you. God is able not only to save you by grace, but by His grace to continue every single day of the year until you die. And you can get up again. You can get up right now. If you fail a million times, get up again, because God is a God of many, many chances. You can do it again. I said, you can do it again. I don't know about you, but this message is helping me a lot. Praise God. Thank you very much. Now, we get born again, and we have to walk this life. And this life is not easy. No one said it's going to be easy. God didn't say your Christian life is going to be easy. And there's times that you want to quit, and you want to throw in the towel again and quit. You know, there's a lot of people quit church because they run into people and situations in church that they can't stand or whatever, but you know, you can't look to yourself to overcome these obstacles. You have to look to God by His grace to overcome whatever obstacles you fail. If you look at your own self, you know, what a miserable situation. You can't do this on your own. You're not meant to live this life on your own. You got born again by grace, and you're going to stand by grace. Okay, let's look at a scripture here. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Everybody say, I'm standing in grace. Because sometimes you can't stand on your own. Or at least, you know, it seemed like you're desperate. And these apostles in chapter 4, here's a little history. They got born again. They got saved. They were doing the works of Jesus Christ. They were healing the sick. And they were being persecuted. You have to understand that in the Jewish culture, you know, you could lose everything by giving your life to Jesus. They lost property, houses, possessions. And they lost their status in the community. When they came to Jesus, it was the end of what they always knew. And so they had to stand after losing everything, after losing whatever they gained in life, maybe through inheritance and different things and property, and they had to be able to, you know, minister. And when they ministered, they were being persecuted by their own people. Jesus came to His own people. Their very first church was a Jewish church, and that was in Jerusalem. It says, and with great power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them. So they had to have this great grace to survive and to do the things that God called them to do, especially in the first generation when they're trying to make a mark and they're trying to get this gospel out. And they had such opposition. It really meant, you know, life and death for a lot of them. And a lot of them did die as martyrs. In Acts 13:43, when the congregation broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. We're going to continue this life in the grace of God. It's not by power nor by might, but by your Spirit, says the Lord. It's by His Spirit. His power is there. And so, I want to say this, and according to Paul and 1 Corinthians 15 and 10 in the King James Version, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. He's quoting Popeye. And I don't know if you remember Popeye. but no, he wasn't quoting Popeye. But I always remember different things in my funny mind. I think in funny terms because I always remember things. You know, I make things funny so that I can remember them. Don't you remember things because they're funny? But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly. You see, serving Jesus, you're going to have to do it by the grace of God. You're going to have to come to church by the grace of God. You're going to have to help each other by the grace of God. You're going to have to work together by the grace of God. It's not because we're so skilled. We can learn all the skill in the world and receive all the wonderful teaching from these great orators and great teachers that we see, that we so admire. But sometimes when you're so mad, all your skills go out the window. And then you lose your mind for several months. And then you have to come back to understand that it's by God's grace. You ever notice that? I remember, you know, training in school and learning all these wonderful skills as a counselor. And, you know, and I tell people later on, you know, I'm not a very good counselor because I don't have any patience for this. Let's go to the end. I'll tell you what to do. I don't want to hear your feelings about this and how you were weak and all that stuff. I just want to tell you what to do. I want to tell you what the end of the book says. You win. Now get out of my office. Next guy, please. Come on in. You don't want me for a counselor. Somebody said, oh, yeah, Pastor, oh, you're so wonderful. I could, you know. And Nathan knows very well, too. One pastor says, you got 1 minute. You got 1 minute in my office. If you don't get happy, get out. We do reign in life, you know. We reign in this life by Jesus Christ. I want to just talk about for a second, if we go a little further here, I want to talk about a couple of words that are very small. Let's go ahead and read a few scriptures first. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. He's talking about Adam. Adam messed up. And he affected everybody. Affected the whole world. How many people know that when you mess up, you affect a lot of people? Huh? You affect a lot of people. Your bad choices not only affects yourself, but everybody else in your family, also perhaps even in society. I went to the bank with my wife last night downtown. We went to get some money, had to get some cash. And I stopped there, and my wife went into the bank. And some big guy, he got to be 6'2", or some, at least I was sitting down, he looked like he was huge. He knocks on my window. He said, hey, can you give me $20? Well, he don't mess around. He don't ask for no change. He wants 20 bucks. He might have asked me like 100 or 1,000 or something like that, you know. He said, give me $20. I said, I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. And then he started to bug me, you know, and he wanted to. Then he got a little physical, and he got kind of mad, and he tells me, do you know who you're talking about? You're talking to, he says to me. And I wanted to laugh. I thought about Pastor Kent. I wanted to say, you know who you're talking to? Do you know who you're talking to? I didn't want him to break my window and grab me and pull me out. But he sure looked like a strong Philistine. I didn't want to mess with him. You know, whenever we go to somewhere, and Pastor Ken and I, he always tells people, you know who we are, right? and they get all nervous. Oh, who are you guys? then he resorts to me. This guy is a Spirit Alive television man. He said, we don't know Spirit Alive. Do you recognize him? He said, no. Well, we tried that a number of times. It seems that people find us more than we find them. So, Adam messed up. Much more they which receive abundance of grace. Everybody say abundance of grace. Abundance of grace. So in Jesus Christ, you don't just receive a little grace. You receive abundance of grace. Abundance of grace. Come on, lift your head and say abundance of grace. Come on, say abundance of grace. We receive abundance of grace, not only just one area, but a whole pile of areas. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. We receive abundance of grace, the Bible says. Not only that, and not only that, folks, the gift of righteousness. Notice this. Shall reign in life by one. The word reign tells us the word reign is a dominant word. It means kingship. It infers kingship and authority. You're an authoritative person in your life. You reign as a king in this life. You reign in your own life by Jesus. Not because of how smart you are, but because of the abundance of grace that God has given us. That you can call on, you can say something according to Scripture, and God will use those Scriptures to make something happen in your life. Everybody say, make happen. You know, I received it this morning. The Lord said to me, you can do a lot by my grace. You can pray for someone by the grace of God. You can pull somebody out of trouble by the grace of God. If you just ask me, I'll do it. And we need to see that God's grace is on us. And you're just not just some little sinner saved by grace. You used to be a sinner. Now you're reigning in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go to verse 21. So that just as sin reigned or had dominion or had authority in death, so grace, unearned, undeserved favor might reign also through righteousness, right standing with God, which issues in the eternal life through Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. I'm reading the Amplified Classical Edition. Two words I want you to pay attention to. Two words. Grace, by definition, means unearned and undeserved favor and blessing. Unearned and undeserved favor. You don't work for this. You could never be perfect enough in this life. You could never be good enough in this life to get this. Jesus got it for you. Jesus gave it to you. This undeserved favor. That's why when I became a minister, people looked at me and saw how, you know, the kind of person they saw in me. They were looking at me. That's why it's hard for you to look at someone and they say, they don't deserve it. Sure, they don't deserve it. Neither did you. But it's because of the grace of God. You are who you are by God's grace. Another word is righteousness. Righteousness simply is being made right or put right with God by the blood of Jesus, or right standing with God. Jesus gave you right standing. He gave you status and position to be right with God because of the blood. And you can go to God the Father in His very presence and ask Him favors. Hallelujah. Somehow, glory to God. The Bible says righteousness, by His righteousness we are put right with God, and we reign with this ability, this grace. We reign right now. We're all been given grace. Every one of us has been given grace. Ephesians 4:7 says, in the Amplified Classical, he says, yet grace, God's unmerited favor, to each one of us individually, not indiscriminately, but in different ways, in proportion to the measure of Christ's rich boldness. We receive grace. We receive gifts. We're all gifted in some way. In some measure, we've been gifted. And that grace is able to grow. That gifting in you should be able to grow. And once you're given a gift, God adds on to you more and more and more. Even as if you're faithful with something, God will give you something more. He'll just keep adding on you. There's no stopping to it. You don't have to stop where you are. You can do more. Have the mentality that God is not done with you yet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to thank God because He's brought you here this morning. He's brought you here. Don't ever give up on the fact that God will bring you through many, many trials and hardships. And, no matter what you're suffering right now, He's going to bring you through it, all of it. God gave me word this morning to tell you that no matter what it is, he's going to pull you right out of the situation. You're not going to be in that forever. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. He's going to pull you right out of it. Glory to God. And it's not going to be just you. It's God's ability working in you. And the Lord gave me a scripture last week, 2 weeks ago, and I was laying in bed. He was talking to me. Over in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, I want you to put it up there for me and Amplified, I believe it will be nice. Because sometimes, you know, we don't truly see ourselves in God. We see ourselves in ourselves. See, when God looks at you, He's looking through the eyes. He's looking at Jesus. What Jesus did, whatever Jesus did and what He accomplished through the cross, He gave to us. That there's problems that we cannot solve on our own. We look at the problems from maybe a social, psychological, and philosophical perspective, and yet we can't seem to solve it. But God has greater perspective than we have. He can see beyond ourselves. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Let's read, pull that back. Go to, 1:6 first. 1:6. Yeah, go to 1:6 first. It just makes more sense to read this first. I am convinced and sure this very thing, that He who began a good work in you. He started the work in you. Everybody said, I'm under construction. Say, God is working in me. Say, He's not done with me. Say, He's working in me right now. See, He begun a good work in you. What's He going to do? Just leave you like that? No. He's going to continue until the day of Jesus Christ. Have faith in God that He's going to continue to work in you. He's not done with you. You say, well, I got this, I've done that. No, there's more to this, man. There's more to this life than what we've experienced so far. Amen? Let's go to this 2:13 again. And the Lord had been talking to me, and I see myself, and you know, we have to reinvent ourselves. There's some artists in the secular world, they continue to reinvent themselves, and they stick around for many, many years. They're just not one-dimensional. They're just people who just, put on a new wig or something. I don't know what they do. Just do something. They sound different. Let's all go put on a new wig. Come on, Monique, smile a little bit. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on there, boys. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on, people. Smile. Okay. So, not on your own strength. It is God who is effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work His good pleasure, satisfaction, delight. God, let's go to, can you pull it up in the Common English Bible for all the common people here? I want to show you something because it's good to read it in different versions because you see different things. Okay? Okay, so it is God is the one who enables you. This is God. He gives you. He enables you to want to actually live out His good pleasure. Maybe you say, well, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to ministry. God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go and pray. I don't want to do this. Who's talking? Who's talking? It's your flesh talking. Your flesh is acting like their king. It's your unrenewed mind asking, talking to you. I have to tell you, my listen, mind. I pull that thought down right now. You're going to serve God. You're going to go to church. You're going to serve. You're going to pray. You're going to go and serve in the church, whether you like it or not. Amen? You see, that's how you have to train yourself. And excuse me sometimes. I might come out in the wrong way. But that's how I treat myself. I have to. I have to treat myself. No, you're getting up this morning. You're going to go out. You're going to work out today. I don't want to work out. No, go. 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 And so you have to chase yourself and make yourself do things sometimes. Not because you're so wonderful. No, because you're thinking this. You're thinking that God's helping me as I'm going along. And we need to stay with that. You know, I realize today I'm a little bit enthusiastic than the normal teaching pastor. I'm gotten so elastic. I'm stretching myself. Some of you are looking at me like, what's happened to him? Lord, help him this Thanksgiving morning. I'm almost done. This is probably going to be the last scriptures here. But God is able, number one, God gave you the ability to be saved by His grace. And He'll give you the ability to continue on with Him. And He's given you the ability to serve Him. Romans 12:3 says that God has given you grace. Ephesians 4:7 said, every one of us has been given grace. First Peter 4:10 says grace was given to everybody that we can serve Him, that we can serve God. So you have to serve God by grace. Find something to do. Those of you that find something to do in church, you'll be the most happiest person in the world. I've heard, Demas Shakarian, who is the leader of the Full Gospel Businessmen of the world. He created Full Gospel Businessmen. He says the happiest people on the world, on the planet, is the people who serve. Even Hollywood people, they go out and they try to serve. They try to give back what they've got in some way. Whatever they Arnold said this. Arnold Schwarzenegger. He says you got to give back. You got to give back. Amen. Give back what's been given to you. Some people say, "Well, I don't want to give back." No, you have to give back. Give something. So God is able to make you stand during tough times. We saw that in the book of Acts, and here and again in 1 Corinthians 15:1. Now, brothers and sisters, let me remind you once again the good news of salvation which I preached to you, which you welcome and accepted, on which you stand by faith. So we're standing in this faith. We're standing in this grace. Today, we can serve God by faith. You're not serving God on your own. God is helping you every way. Remember, every day you get up, it is God who's working in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. And I want to give you one more scripture. We'll close with this. There's so much more I want to say here because I feel there's things. I don't care how many times you mess up. In Jude chapter 1, verse 24, I'm reading the Amplified. Maybe you've been failing and you're thinking, I can't make it because my sin is too big. It's just lording over me and so on. I remember I did not want to quit smoking when I got born again. I just loved smoking. In fact, I'm going to tell you the truth. I still love smoking. I quit this morning. No, it's been quite a while. Hey, kids, I was just kidding. Maybe you don't understand. This is not true. My body loved it. You have to understand. And I was told, in Roma, until you get honest with it, you're not going to quit until you get honest with it. I remember Keith Moore saying, he said, even if you're a Christian, you have a trouble smoking, each time you light up a smoke and say, thank God I quit smoking. If you inhale, say, praise God, I don't smoke anymore. He said, keep telling yourself that you're quitting. But, years ago now, over 35 years ago or something, I quit smoking. But I did it because of the grace of God. It wasn't me. I said, God, give me the willing to quit. I'd be worshiping God Sunday morning with my pack of Demoria right over here next to my heart. And as soon as I run to my car, I look for it. I didn't want anybody to know I smoked. But some of you have seen smoking in the city. At the stoplight, you're going like this. Even lots of people, I see a lot of people, in the city sometimes that I'm going by, banging their heads away. Got this long cigarette. But it doesn't matter. Okay, so maybe you got weakness. And, you know, we have a little fun on it, but, I mean, seriously, you know, we don't make fun of you. I make fun of myself. And I didn't mention anybody I saw you, but I'm not mentioning the names. I'm telling on me. But there's certain things that we do in life that causes a lot of heartache because we've been weak in certain areas. Jude 1:24, this is our last scripture before we give the last ones. Jude 1:24 Amplified says, "Now unto him who's able to keep you from stumbling into sin and present you unblemished, blameless, faultless in the presence of the glory with a triumph and joy, unspeakable delight." God is able to keep you from falling. He'll keep you standing. Hallelujah. Everybody say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. We're going to take communion, I believe, this morning, aren't we? Praise God. Okay, let's go ahead and stand. Thank you, Lord Jesus.